Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
Welcome, everyone. I find it always a privilege to be able to be here and share the word with my brothers and sisters in Christ. And again, it's always a privilege. And thank you, Pam, for asking me to share tonight. I want to open up in a word of prayer and just ask the Lord to help me to share His word with you guys, and that it be by the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you that you have given me this opportunity to share with my brothers and sisters again, that I get to handle your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would use me, speak through me, encourage my brothers and sisters in your word, that the things that I say would touch them as they have touched me, and that it would be a way to just to share your heart and a way that comes forth that would build us up and encourage us in the things that you have placed before us. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for this holy week that we have to remember Jesus, the Lord, our Savior, and to remember your Son and all the things that he did to reach the world with the good news. And that he said that he must be about his Father's business. Help us to be about his business, to be about your Son's business, to be about the gospel, to be about what's on your heart, the salvation of the world. Thank you, Father, for this time. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to get right to it. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19. And if you follow with me, you may already be aware that Luke 19, later on in the chapter, is also the verses of the entry into Jerusalem. Since this is Palm Sunday, that's the story that that's usually shared of the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and everyone, shouting Hosanna to the, to the highest, and in celebration of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And Pastor Ken and Pastor Pam were discussing this morning that that this celebration of Jesus coming into the temple then later that week turns into a mob scene, and the people are crying out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" And so it's a deep dive into this time period, this week that that's coming up to the crucifixion and all the things that Jesus will have to suffer for our sake, for our sin, and his purpose is being fulfilled. He knows why he's coming to Jerusalem. Everybody else thinking he's coming, to take over the kingdom and to establish the kingdom. And yet he knows he's coming to die, and we have the privilege to see that played out in the scriptures, and to be benefactors of it, since we've received Christ as our Savior. So tonight, though, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the chapter, and read the story about Zacchaeus. And I want to give a little bit of background about this story. I was sharing earlier with Irma the significance of this story, and I find one thing that's significant is that this is before Jesus gets to Jerusalem. I'm setting it up for you. This meeting with Zacchaeus happens in Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. So it's quite a distance away. And Jericho, if we all remember the story of Jericho, Jericho was the city that Israel encountered, and then they had to march around it seven times silently till the signal was given, and they were to shout, and the walls came down, and they were able to enter in and take over the city. So it's a significant city. It was a city with a lot of history. Even our historians know that this city had been occupied for centuries. Even before biblical times, that the recording of that event, Jericho had been inhabited by other people. So it's an interesting little side note that Jesus is going through Jericho on his way to Jerusalem. So Jesus is walking through Jerusalem, and he's going to meet Zacchaeus, and then we're going to continue on. So let's read together. I'll read it. Just follow with me. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 19. I'm going to start with verse 1. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was of small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. When they saw it, meaning the people around him, they all began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. He has gone to be with a man who is a sinner." Could be any one of us. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone, anything, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." To the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Now, I was thinking about what I would share tonight. I wasn't sure which way I would go, but then I decided to read the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And on the surface, it seems like such a simple story. Jesus is walking down the road, and he all of a sudden sees this guy in the tree, and he calls down to him, and then says to him, "I'm going to come and stay at your house." But then everybody around him starts grumbling. He's going to stay with that sinner, tax collector? I mean, isn't it just like the beginning of a soap opera? The backbiting, the innuendos, the talk back, the talking behind Jesus' back? Now, this story, I was telling Irma before, this story touched my heart as a young kid. I was in grade school. I don't remember if it was first grade or second grade, but it was one of those two. Six, seven, 8 years old, somewhere in that range. And after school, walking down the hall, on my way home, there was this woman in front of the library, right outside the door of the library, and the library was on my way out by the principal's office. You had to pass by the library and the principal's office, and then out the door you went, out to home. So it was the end of the day, and I was on my way out. And there was this lady, unassuming lady, standing in the front door of the library, and she sees me, and she said, "Oh, would you like to come for a Bible story, to listen to a Bible story?" And sure, I'll come listen to a Bible story. I saw some other kids sitting down, and she had one of those felt boards, where you put up the little figurines and stuff, and she was going to tell us a story. Well, that story that day was the story of Zacchaeus. So I sat down with the other kids, and she started her story. And she put up, she put Zacchaeus up in the tree, and I thought that was cool. She peeled him and stuck him up on the tree, and then she had Jesus, coming down the path, and then she's telling the story. She's reading the scripture, and then she peels Zacchaeus off the tree and puts him next to Jesus and continues the story. Well, it sounds like a silly story, but I was intrigued. I was like, what's this whole thing about Jesus talking to Zacchaeus? And then she continues the story, and it touched my heart. At the time, I didn't know the significance. I'm going to try not to cry. I told Irma, "Oh, I'm going to ruin it if I start crying." But the significance has not been lost on me because it touched me in a deep way. I went home excited. I had been touched, and I didn't understand it, but it had touched me in a deep way. I went home and I told my mom about the story, about what Jesus did, about what Zacchaeus did, and I guess my exuberation freaked my mom out because she told me immediately, "You are not allowed to go to the Bible story time after school. You are to come home immediately," because I had, my mom was expecting me to come home at a certain time, and I had stayed. It wasn't a very long time, but probably maybe 10, 15 minutes. So I was 10, 15 minutes late, and it probably freaked my mom out. But I was, forbid to stay for Bible story time. And I was crushed. But I wanted to go back. I really wanted to go back. But I knew that I had to listen to my mom, and I had to obey. And that next day, as I was leaving the school, she saw me at the door. She saw me passing by, and she's at the door. And she said, she called my name. She goes, "Giovanni, would you like to come and listen to another story?" And I walked up to her, and I told her that I couldn't stay, that I had to go. My mom said that I couldn't stay, and I had to go home. I was disappointed. She probably saw the disappointment, and she said, "Well, then you need to go home." And she probably said something gracious to me. I don't remember. But, I walked out and went home. And that was that. Okay? And that story has stuck in my skull and in my heart since I was 7 or 8 years old. I'm 58 years old. So 50 years ago, this woman changed my life. And I'll share later how I feel that this scripture can change your life. So from the story, we have to ask a question. Who was Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a citizen of Israel and Jericho, since Jesus was passing through Jericho. We'll just make that assumption, because that's what the story is telling us. He was a tax collector. We know that. He was a tax collector, as the scripture tells us. Scripture also says that he was lost, that he was a sinner. It also says that he was rich. It also tells us that he was short in stature. So somewhat insignificant probably to everybody else. He worked for the government. If he wasn't just a sinner, he was a sinner who worked for the government. So, you know, that makes it even worse. You can be a sinner, but if you're a sinner who works for the government, and now he's also working for the Romans, because who's he collecting the taxes for? He's collecting the taxes for the Romans. Back then, if you were just a sinner, okay, but if you were also a tax collector and you were working for the Romans, you were triple sinner bad. So he was in deep. And did I also mention that he was a sinner? So let's just establish that. We know he's a sinner. So what did the other people think of him, the people that were around him? That he was a sinner, number one. They knew he was a sinner. That he was a tax collector, number two. He's got strike number two. Most hated profession in Israel probably at the time. There was another tax collector. Matthew was a tax collector. So they were in good company. He was in cahoots. So the other people know he's in cahoots with the Romans and with the present government in Israel. So he was not a liked man. By the way, he was rich. And they probably thought he was rich on their backs. He was a rich man, tax collector, working with the Romans. How did he get his job? Probably knew somebody, you know, kind of like how we have it in Chicago, you know. It's not what you know, it's who you know. But we'll move on here. And then, did I mention he was a sinner? Okay, make sure you know that. He's a sinner. Okay. And to use a Yiddish word, none of us here are probably familiar with Yiddish, but we know this word, chutzpah. Chutzpah. He had the gall to talk to Jesus, the rabbi. You know, he was on his, he had an entourage with him. Jesus had an entourage with him. And these were important people. His disciples were with him, yes, but there were other people with him. There was the Pharisees and some Sadducees. You know, they were following him. They wanted to know what Jesus was up to. The scriptures don't make it clear that there was Pharisees and Sadducees, but we know from other accounts that they were around. They were looking for an opportunity to trip Jesus up. And so this is my opinion, is that there were some people who were eyeing Jesus, and when Jesus speaks to Zacchaeus and says, "Come down, I'm gonna stay at your house," they start talking. You know, they want to look good. You know, they're the good people. We're not tax collectors like Zacchaeus. We're not collaborators with the Romans like Zacchaeus. Oh, and did I mention we're not sinners like Zacchaeus? So these people think he's got the chutzpah, the gall, he has no shame. He's a sinner. He has no shame. Who is he to think that he could be talking to Jesus? He should be shameful. And he was short, so he was an insignificant person. Okay, he's got strikes against him. This poor man has strikes against him. He's a tax collector. He's a collaborator with the Romans. He's short. Oh, and did I mention he's a sinner? Okay? I know you know, you know. But that's what the people thought of him. And then I started thinking about this. It's like in the scriptures, it's like, well, what did Jesus think of him? Okay? Let's look at that. What did Jesus think of him? Well, one, Jesus thought of him as a guy in the tree. He sees this guy in the tree. You know, he's not short anymore because, you know, Jesus can see him. Well, he's still short, but Jesus can see him. And then Jesus must have thought, of, oh, I could stay at this guy's house. He must live around here. I could stay. Now, some of this is my interpretation, but it's in the scripture, so I'm not making things up here. But he calls him by name. He calls him by name. He says, Zacchaeus, come down here. Tonight I'm going to stay at your house. How does Jesus know Zacchaeus? Did they ever meet before? It doesn't seem like this is the only time I'm aware that he met Zacchaeus. And by the way, did I mention he is a sinner? Zacchaeus is a sinner, but Jesus still calls him out and says, I'm going to stay at your house. Very interesting. Make sure I didn't forget. So we can assume, we assume on one level that Jesus doesn't know who Zacchaeus is. But on another level, when he calls his name, it's like, it made me wonder. It's like, does he know Zacchaeus? So does he know everything about Zacchaeus? Well, if you were a natural person, you would say, oh, of course not. He must have got lucky with, saying his name like that. Well, of course not. It's because he's the Lord. In reality, that's his creation. He created him from the womb and called him probably Zacchaeus from the womb. He was his creation. He was one of the descendants of his good friend Abraham. He was a son of Abraham. He was a significant person. Jesus didn't see it because he was tall or short. What was more significant to Jesus was that he was looking, he had gotten up and was looking at him, and that he was a son of Abraham. I think that was enough. It seems like from the scriptures that was enough for Jesus to say, Zacchaeus, come down from the tree. I'm going to stay at your house tonight. I don't think Jesus really, it didn't matter. Jesus didn't say, oh, I'm sorry I can't stay at your house because you're a collaborator, you're a tax collector, and by the way, you're a sinner. Can't stay at your house. Sorry, Zacchaeus. You know, you climbed up the tree for no reason. But that's not what happened. So it seems like a simple story, and like everything in the scriptures, it depends on how deep you want to dive. And asking the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what can I get out of this simple story? Some guy in a tree who's a sinner, tax collector, collaborator, what can I learn from this? And it's very interesting. You're the guy in the tree. Jose, you're the guy in the tree. Irma, Debbie, Pam, Ken, me. We're the guy in the tree. we are the sinner, the tax collector, the collaborator. We're that person in the tree who at one time was separated from our Father, our Creator, who loves us enough to send his Son, Jesus, to preach the gospel through someone, somewhere, at some time, called out to you and said, there's a Savior, Jesus, who's calling you because he wants to sup with you. He wants to stay in your house, inside. Not just the apartment in Jericho, but the heart inside, our heart.